My name is Camille Kafka. I'm 17 years old. Today is November 27th, and I'm speaking with Darius Kafka, who is my father. We are recording this interview in Midlothian, Virginia. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
I was a happy, active child. I think that the people who remember me usually say I was really joyous and happy.
Okay.
Always smiling. Always trying to play. And I was rather on the quiet side.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't trying to get in trouble too much.
Okay.
At certain parts of my life, I was rather shy.
Okay.
Or shy in the sense I wasn't maybe looking for the to be part of the big group of the people.
Oh, okay.
And I was rather liked both by kids and adults. Know what else
Okay, that's fine. Do you know the story of why and how are well no that's you so never mind, it doesn't work with you.
Ci dołożyć jeszcze dalej.
Like what
pierwszego.
It's okay. All right, so who were your grandparents?
My grandparents from my mother's side, they basically came from the agriculture.
Okay.
So they own a small farm,
mm-hmm.
Which they cultivated. But actually, before I was born, they sold it and moved to the big city to stay close to my mother.
Okay.
The grandfather from the mother's side, he participated in the World War I.
Okay.
He actually fought with the army, the Polish army in France.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Poland gained independence, he moved back to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
He was very proud member, and even in the very difficult times in Poland, in the 50s and 60s, with a lot of shortages, he declined the help from the family in the West.
Okay.
Saying that his life is fine and they have everything they need. Grandparents from the my father's side, they both, well, the grandfather was the factory worker.
Mm-hmm.
He was the foreman. They were rather on the strict side.
Okay.
So there was always a little bit of a conflict with them. However, he was a very interesting figure. During the World War II, he organized a strike in the factory for which he has been arrested by the German occupiers,
mm-hmm.
with his co-workers, and actually he was put against the wall to be executed.
Oh, okay.
When the Germans were reloading, he actually jumped the fence and ran. His co-worker was killed.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of the war, he participate in the underground, Polish underground, and he has a death warranty on him for the rest of his for the war. He was awarded the state highest honors. He was buried in the state funeral. He was one of the organizers of one of the units in the underground army.
Okay.
Mother, the grandmother from the father's side, she was more on the quiet side. However, she was sick from a relatively young age.
Okay.
And the grandfather was spending a lot of time trying to organize the help to get it through. And when she died, he had a breakdown.
Okay.
So that was the grandparents from both sides.
Did you ever meet the grandfather that escaped the The one that was like the underground.
Yeah. That was the one. Yeah. I met both, all of them, all four of them.
Okay.
So I grew up with them. However, I was closer to the my maternal grandparents.
Okay.
They stayed closer to us. The grandmother, my maternal grandmother, actually was very involved in my upbringing.
Okay. Can you tell me one or two people who have been kindest to you in your life? If they were here, what would you say to them?
There were actually a lot of different people who are really kind. I personally believe most people are kind.
Okay.
And most people try to do good and help others.
Okay.
Especially if they see that you are genuinely in the need of help. This is a kind of tricky question because that depends what you mean by the generous and helpful people who help you in your life. For sure I can say that, you know, there was a Professor Douglas at McGill University.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of helped me to go through when I moved to the Canada to keep me on track and motivated and help to finish, cross the line. Obviously, you know, family always was very supportive. That was always the biggest help. Parents were really helpful. They was trying to keep us, you know, me and my brother, going forward and achieve the goals and help us as much as they could. And there is a lot of other strangers which helped me when I was traveling the world as the young adult and you know, the older teenager. And in the certain situation when they ran into issues that, you know, at the time you didn't have a cell phone, you didn't have credit cards, you didn't have any way to support your travels. You have to have a cash, you have to have a help. There was different languages like in Europe. So, you know, there are certain people help you when they didn't really have any interest in doing that.
Okay.
Just even trying to, or maybe to contribute to their ticket because you didn't have a currency in the right currency for the right country. And it was too late to go and make an exchange or helping you to go through and, you know, showing you the direction, something like that. So that was, you know, I'd rather have a good impression of the people that they are trying to be helpful.
Okay. Well, you basically told me about a teacher, but it says, tell me about a teacher or other adult that had a big impact on your life when you were growing up.
So this is mostly about the teachers and the school?
And or other adults, but...
Well, so obviously, parents. That was probably one of the biggest influence, obviously. They were pushing us to go certain ways, and they were supportive one way or the other. The teacher at the McGill University was my professor, my supervisor, was really helpful. He was trying to, he understood some challenges we had moving from the, what it was called, the Eastern Bloc to the Western Bloc, and study different country, being alone on the different continent, and having to deal with all the different aspects of the different cultures.
Okay. So
he helped me to go through the, especially in the first half a year of the study. After the year, that pretty much was relatively easy after that, but the first half a year was really tough.
Okay. Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
The happiest memories, as I probably mentioned before, I'm rather the happy person.
Okay, but...
So I see a lot of happy moments. For sure, the birth of my sons were happy moments.
Oh, yeah.
Meeting the family at this point is, it's a happy moment as well. I have only mother on my side, which is surviving at this point. And, you know, we seeing she's 80 right now. And it's a happy moment when you can go and visit because you don't know how much longer that will really last.
Yeah.
In the childhood, of course, I was engaged in different sports, and track and field was one of them. So winning some of those bigger events was a happy moment, obviously. You work hard to achieve the highest goals, and if you are able to beat the field and win the meet, that was actually pretty good feeling.
Yeah. Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Obviously, there was the death of the father. Okay. There was a difficult moment because you have to deal not only with the loss, but also, you know, how to deal with the with mother, which was basically left alone at home. The first half year when I moved to Montreal to McGill was relatively tough, not only from the cultural point of view, but the financially as well. I got some scholarship, I got some help, but I have to pay for the full tuitions.
Yeah.
And when I arrived and I got my first scholarship and grants, and then I have to go and pay for the first semester, I was left with $250 on my hand, 6,000 miles from the family, and I have to mend for myself. So that was a little bit tough times, but I was young and we managed through.
Was mom with you this time?
No, the mom at the time was in France. We just got married and I moved to Canada for the PhD studies. She moved to the France at the point to finish some courses in a university over there. And then she moved to Canada within the next couple months.
Okay. Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
Reach for your goals. I think this is, you know, where you can hear that from different people, different situation, that if you look at your past, you probably regret the most the things you haven't done.
Yeah.
And you might. You appreciate the things you have achieved, the things you have, the goals you reached, some other milestones, but you can think about what if I took this extra step, what that will happen. So, of course, it doesn't mean that you have to throw yourself at the unknown, but don't be afraid of it. If you see that this is something which might interest you, this may be something you like to do or you like to achieve, I think it's good to go and try. Even if you fail, it is much better feeling later on that you try and failed than you haven't tried at all because you were afraid to fail, failure.
That's good.
So that's something, it's always better to go and try it and see if you can do it, achieve that goal, than think that you cannot do it and doesn't make sense to go for it. That's something which can haunt you later on. So it's better to go and reach for it, even if you may not achieve the full satisfaction at the end.
It's good. Can you tell me about a historic event that had an impact on your life, if a historic event?
Obviously, I went through the 80s and 90s. There was a time when the Eastern Bloc, the Soviet Bloc, was crumbling.
Yeah.
And I remember the martial law in Poland. I remember when the Berlin Wall fall, and we were able to move freely, more freely across the world. So this was one of the defining moments, I guess, of the last 100 years. Being in Europe, we haven't been really involved in the wars like, you know, some people in the United States. So obviously we don't have that kind of memories.
Yeah.
We heard about the wars in a Far East and Africa and some smaller uprising in the South America, but as a Poland, we haven't really been that much involved. Afghanistan was the far cry for us, but the struggle against the regime in Poland, the martial law, and then drop of the and then the fall of the Soviet Union and the Berlin Wall. That was obviously that I was at the time getting into my young adulthood.
Okay.
I was turning, at that time, I was turning 17, 18. So obviously there was a lot of different activities going on around you, and you can see the changes coming.
Yeah.
And I was at the university at the time, so there was a lot of different movements in the student body, trying to undermine, gain some independence. And we actually witnessed the changes. We went through it, and we can look how after so many years, more than 25 years later on, how that really evolved for those blocks.
Were you happy when the Berlin Wall fell? Or was it like...
Yes, of course. You know, for us, of course we were, you know, it's easy to say now, but during the time of the, before that, we were just young people. So, you know, we enjoy our lives as far as we could. Poland was no North Korea or Romania. So we always have some level of the freedom. But obviously that opened possibilities for all of us to move on and break free from the Soviet influence and basically decided our own future.
So it wasn't that bad during the communist times in Poland?
Yeah, you know, that's...
Or is it just like better just in for you because you had a better...
No, not that really. It's just, you know, as a young person, you always find your place.
Yeah.
Unless you are really being prosecuted. And I don't know, when we heard like the 60s, 50s in Poland and in Russia, all, you know, right now you can probably relate to the North Korea. That was not the case. It wasn't as severe as that. So, you know, there was some freedom and people tried to live their own lives. It was tough at moments.
Okay.
But, you know, being young, it's always find the joy in the life one way or the other.
Yeah.
And... yes, if you go to the West at the time, you can see they have better toys, they have better roads, better clothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, at certain point, at the time, what was really important is to have a group of friends.
Yeah.
Ability to go, let's say, camping at the lake.
Yeah.
Being together, to have family around you. So, you know, when I was younger, you don't really understand a lot of those things as much. But as I get older and when the system start crumbling, really... then you start seeing the cracks and seeing that, you know, all the different limitations that put on you. So as I got to the high school level and then getting to university, this is the time when Poland went through the martial law and then change of the regime and the fall of the communism, whatever you call it, like a social democratic system. And the fall of Berlin Wall and change of the freedoms. Poland joining NATO, joining the European Union. As you get older, you understand, you know, that there was a happy moment for everybody. Yeah. There was a lot of joy on the streets. People were happy. People really wanted to have a freedom and have a ability to decide it for themselves what they want to do.
Okay.
But if you are 10 years old or 11 years old, you normally are protected by your parents most of the time.
Yeah.
And you take the joy with whatever you have. You don't need much really to be happy.
Yeah. So was it ever like dangerous though, like in that time in between like the two governments, or was it like just pretty calm?
Well, there was unknown. So there was always a threat of invasion, of the Soviet invasion to bring order,
okay,
the old order back. So nobody knows what to do. There was an army on the streets. There was police on the streets. There was certain demonstrations. People go and start fighting each other. There was certain casualties. So there was an unknown what will happen next. Nobody knew which way it would turn. So that was a difficulty. Then the change of the system and moving from the socialist model, really the communist socialist model, into the open market model. There was another tough time for the country and people, because it brought all those uncertainty, you know, about your jobs, about your future, about your retirement, income, all of those security, the basic securities. Nobody knew which will go. Obviously, the big state-owned companies, they have issues surviving in the new market. So they have to be reorganized. There was a lot of chaos at the time, actually, during the transformation time. So there was a lot of opportunities too.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a lot of unknowns. So, you know, obviously, if you talk to the older generation, they felt it the most. For us, the opportunities were open.
Okay.
We were just getting into the life, like you are here right now. So you can only go and reach whatever you wanted and go when you wanted. But if you think about people who are closer to the retirement and older, they obviously like the stability. And for them, there was a... That was a difficult time for them sometimes. They were not They were not sure if they will get the jobs. Obviously, at the time, if smaller companies opened, there was a preference for the younger workers with less ties to the old system. Somebody who was more open to the innovation, technology, and all of those. So obviously, the older generation felt some unease about that.
Okay.
The social net, it was severely damaged during the first few years before it was reestablished to a certain level. So people kind of felt the pain on it.
Okay.
If what that, so that was the majority of it. Obviously, we have, you know, at the time the western part of the Europe was trying to help us.
Yeah.
So that was. That was well received, of course, but like everything else, the help is only reached so much. So you have to reach for yourself and find out what you want to do.
Okay.
But for the younger generation, for the younger adults like myself, that was actually the doors were opening.
Because like when you were first going to college, you didn't think you're going to go anywhere besides Poland, right?
When I went to the college at the time, I didn't know where I would go. I believe at the time the thought of going overseas or the abroad, to especially to the western part of the Europe, was not really that common.
Yeah,
was rather difficult. So you know, most of the time you may thought that you can end up in some kind of a jobs profession in Poland, and there is a lot of course connection that the Polish companies were active in the what is called right now the third world.
Okay.
So you know, Asia, Africa, all of those, of course, the Eastern Europe. So, you know, there was a lot of those opportunities too, to go and work in those enterprises. But, you know, there was not really thought that, I never really had that thought that I would go and leave at the time.
Yeah.
You wanted to go with it. You want to achieve your goals. You know, there was a university.
Yeah.
I was going for the master in mechanical engineer. And that was the goal at the time. There was opportunities for the job. And you know, you just look at that, what you could do, and not exactly that my goal was to leave and go somewhere else, and you know, never was that. You just follow the opportunities.
Okay.
If the opportunities opens, you just have to assess them and see if this is worth going for them.
Okay.
So migration or moving to the different parts of the world was never a goal of itself. You just follow the opportunities and see what is the best to reach your goals.
Okay. How would you like to be remembered?
I guess, you know, you want to be remembered as a good person.
Okay.
You want to remember somebody who makes some impact on the lives of, it doesn't have to be maybe the whole population, but you know, to a certain point, a certain group, you want to be seen as a person who is dependable, somebody who has a group of friends, and somebody who is liked.
Yeah.
And somebody who is, you know, I don't know if successful is really a good word here, because that depends what you mean by the success in life. But somebody who is, you know, achieving his goals and is happy doing that.
Do you want to be remembered as like one of those really innovative people in your company, wherever you work at, like those getting all those patents and being remembered in DuPont?
Well, at this point I probably am anyway. So I already have patents. I already rather recognized for that, so as an innovator. So that was never a goal for me to be recognized that way.
Okay.
It was, for me, it's more fun getting there. It's more about achieving new stuff, looking at the new possibilities to do the things differently, to invent new possibilities, being these new materials, processes, or technologies. And doing that was really my passion more than really do I be really recognized or not, because if you do that and you're successful, you'll be recognized for that one way or the other. So for me, it's more like about achieving goals and have fun with it, to make something which is useful, impactful for sure, but not necessarily that I have to be recognized for that, to be overly recognized. You know, if you do things good and you act properly and you show the impact, you can be recognized. You don't have to be inventor to be recognized.
Okay.
You can have helper. You can have somebody who is troubleshooter, solving the team member, and you'll be remembered just for that because you provided help when it was needed, and you are dependable. People will remember that. They will recognize you for that. So you don't necessarily have to be inventor or have any, I don't know how many patents just to be recognized for that. It's just you have to be recognized for your work. And you know, if you do your work properly and people recognize that you're doing that and they can depend on you, and if you say something, they will take it with a certain weight, and then that's good.
Yeah.
But for me, most important was to make sure that you align with those goals, with those jobs, and you have actually fun going doing that.
So in the line of having fun, did you always want to do what you're doing now, or was it more like while you were studying and or?
I was always technically gifted.
Okay.
Even from my youngest years, when I electrified our basement, put the electrical lines and lights and building some toys or something, I was always the one in the family who, when I got the new toys, I was the first one to dismantle it to see what is inside. So my toys always end up in pieces. So I was always have the inclination, technical inclination. So that was obvious more or less which way I will probably will go. And as I move on, you know, not necessarily that I knew exactly what you want to do. There was a technical job, but you know, as you are a younger person, you don't really know what is out there. You have certain knowledge because you're exposed to it. You can see what is on TV. You can see what your friends, parents doing. But the reality is you don't know a lot of different specialties and what the people do. So that comes at the cost. So, you know, you are learning as you go.
Yeah.
And you get start exposed to the things, to different ways to do it. So eventually I find out that most likely, you know, I don't want to be the factory worker per se. I would prefer to be somebody who play with new things, to be like research and development. I didn't want to be supply chain. Not necessarily that it's better or not, it's just, you know, everybody has their own goals.
Yeah.
And I always joke with my friends at work, which actually been in the supply chain and marketing and sales, that, you know, I like when the things are interesting.
Yeah.
And they say, no, you want the things to be boring. You need to be, once it's running, you want them running. I want them to be interesting. And so they always say to me that, you know, not everybody likes that. Some people like to come to the job, do the job properly, and go home and enjoy the life. Not necessarily that they have to troubleshoot or problem or do the problem solving or invent something new. For me, it was more as I was trying to change things, to improve them, to move forward, to find something new.
It's cool.
So it was always more interesting for me that way. But it doesn't mean that any other way it's not interesting and it's not fulfilling. It is. People, just different people have a different needs and different aspiration in life, and they find peace at work and different levels and different jobs. Yeah. But the point is that, you know, sometimes you learn it as you go. Not necessarily you're born with that. You might maybe born with some skills, better skills one way or the other, but there's a lot of different things you can do. There's a lot of different activities you can be involved, and you just learn them as you go.
Yeah.
For sure you don't know all of them at this point.
Yeah.
And with the world changing rapidly as it's changing right now with the technology, technologies, medical science is changing as fast as they do, the IT obviously, there's a lot of new things going on, and you know, there's a lot of opportunities.
All right. So, what are your hopes for me and someday for my children?
For you, it's basically that you find your way, you find your passion, that you'll be happy with it, with the choices, that you will live your life the way you want, that you'll be a good person, obviously, not doing any harm to others, but that you'll be able to reach for your goals, to set the goals and reach for them, trying to achieve whatever you put in front of you, and you'll be having fun doing that.
Yeah. All right, Dad, thanks.
You're welcome.
That's it.